thing.
Please turn it down. Thank you so much. The time is 6:10 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, the phone number is 512-472-5667. That's 472-KOOP. Toll free, 1-888-917-5667. Anything said on this show is only the opinion of the person that said it. Boom! Oh, Mascot Wedding Show! Harden your hearts! Because this is 2010 and we are undefeated. 1-0.
That's right. We are. It's just nice to point out that we, yes, Mascot Wedding, is an entity.
That's right.
We are undefeated.
That's true.
Yes.
Last show, still the offseason. Campaign, new campaign begins today.
Yeah.
This is an invasion. 2010, prepare to be invaded.
Yeah, we're gunning you down.
Oh, how's it going, David?
Oh, it's going awesome.
What did we just hear?
We started the show off with the Ramones, Bonzo Goes to Bitburg, originally off the Animal Boy album, but I pulled that one off of Ramones Mania, one of the first CDs I ever bought. And yes, it was called Bonzo Goes to Bitburg on that version and not something upside down, some dumb name they gave it to appease Reagan. Anyway.
And do you like jarring transitions? I hope you did. Because then it was Rufus Wainwright with Beautiful Child off of his Want One album. Oh, man. So I just got back into town about an hour and a half ago. I left Sunday morning last week, and I am now back in town for good.
Hey, all right. Good to have
you back. Like, I've been in Austin for a couple days here and there, but mostly I've been in San Antonio and New Mexico for the last like 3 weeks, really. Like I'm back in town for good.
Yeah, it's funny. The only time I see you anymore is for this show.
Well, it's the only time I see this town is for the show.
And then you throw a smoke cap lid on the ground and just disappear.
Well, that's right, because I told my boss's International Tomato that I was like, I'm going to take my winter break starting the Friday after the last new episode of 30 Rock.
Uh-huh.
And then when 30 Rock starts up again, that's when I'll come back.
Yeah.
Because I'm going NBC rules on this one. And they seemed okay with it, oddly enough.
I got to tell you, though, they're not okay with it.
I think they are.
No, they haven't even delegated your work. It's just piling up on your desk.
I haven't gotten any emails. I haven't really been checking them, though.
Yeah, you should
I'm just assuming.
You should probably do that.
But man, as soon as I drove back into town today, smelled something. You know what I smelled?
What's that?
Loser stink.
Oh.
Town smells like loser.
Yeah, that's right. Strong whiff of loser.
Stroke of loser. All these dang losers. Loser school.
Yeah, exactly. What's your winning percentage now? Like 9-something?
Where did you go to college, Dave? Loser University?
I went to UT.
Yeah, that's same thing.
University of Terrible.
Oh. So how are you, David? How's it going for real?
With regard to that?
Just in general.
Here's the thing. I kind of apologize in advance because the only things like on my mind this week have been sports and weather. So like every conversation I've had this week is like every conversation I've had at the post office.
Let's get the UT championship talk out of the way.
Okay.
Thoughts on the game?
Anticlimax. This entire season was geared toward winning a national title. They go undefeated through the regular season. Then you have 32 days of just buildup and banquets and award shows and not a game.
And Lego statues.
And Lego statues, yeah. And pictures of Colt McCoy riding some rides at Disneyland, which were hilarious.
Getting that battle cattle tattoo.
That's right, yeah. Now I got to cross over it with something. I got to talk to Angelina Jolie and find out what she did. Put a festive dragon over it.
I think that is what she did.
That's why I said it. I read my people. And so then the game was just like, here we go, showtime, boo, anticlimax, here's the thing. I was such a raw nerve going into that game, going into that game as I was,
yes,
as a spectator.
Yeah.
That like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. Like I thought for sure I was just going to bust out into tears at any point. Cause it was just the release of it. Like just so much buildup and then you just need an outlet. But then five plays in when, Mr. Colt McCoy gets injured.
One like, Colton Q. McCoy.
Colton Quincy McCoy. He earned that middle name.
That's right.
It was like, all right, I guess I'm just watching a game now instead of this game that I had a vested interest in, that sort of thing. I don't know. It was weird.
It was hard for it not to feel like a non-game after that for me. I just, it was like, as soon as Colt McCoy went down, I was like, well, that was a lot of hoopla for nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. They came back a little bit, but I couldn't regain that. I couldn't shake that feeling that this didn't matter.
No, totally. And it's not a sour grapes thing. Alabama won. Alabama was the national championship. Congratulations to them. It just didn't feel like, you know, the best versus the best. You know, it was just like, it was an exhibition almost. It was like Globetrotters Generals. Generals kind of crept in there toward the end.
You know, but. I have TiVo, David.
Whoa.
And so, that's right. I was able to pause and slow down the game. And I noticed something right in the beginning.
What's that?
Who did the coin toss for the game?
That would be one Mr. Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson. Doctor.
Here comes the corn, boys.
By the way, is he racist?
He might be.
You haven't heard him say anything?
No. Well, he's old and white.
I watched the game in San Antonio, and a friend of mine was like, oh, Keith Jackson's so racist. And I was like, huh, really? Like, I'd never heard anything. He did go like, we got the Texas Longhorns versus Bama Black. And I was like, I don't know what that means. But if you notice, when he's flipping the coin while the coin's in the air, if you slow down the tape, he very quickly shoots Colt McCoy in the arm with a syringe.
I didn't notice that.
He did, yeah.
Wow.
That's just now breaking that news.
My goodness. Who broke it?
ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Todd McShay.
I'll look that up.
Speaking of sports, you know, if you're like, oh, geez, should I turn over and watch the NFL game? We'll go ahead. We'll be giving you updates all show long about, I believe it's Jets-Bengals right
now. Jets-Bengals, yes.
Yeah, and it... let me see. There's currently in the third. Mark Sanchez has just scored a touchdown. And as a way of celebrating, is that? It looks like he's letting himself be bitten by a rattlesnake.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. In order to prove his strength by being able to survive the poisonous bite.
Yeah, yeah, because he's holding the rattlesnake up now.
Yeah, he's pressing it to his breast.
Yeah.
Like Cleopatra in an asp.
And then, lifting it to the heavens. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so that looks like Jets are in the lead.
So now he's got snake strength. Okay, yeah. I get it.
You know, that's true. If you survive a snake's bite, you get snake strength.
I did not know that.
That is...
is that true for every animal?
No,
or is that
just
snake?
A snake. It's like a risky gambit every time a snake bites someone because it goes, this will either kill it or I've given it my snake strength.
So like, okay, so just to be clear, if I get mauled by a bear, I'm dead.
Yeah, you're dead.
Okay.
But unless it's a light mauling.
Okay. What if it's just like a scraping?
I once saw a person in the woods. I was playing dead at the time.
Uh-huh.
Because
of a bear or just
because of a bear.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we did have a round of who can be deadest earlier, but that's always boring. But I saw a bear roll someone up into a ball and then just roll him down a hill.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Like, did he dribble him like a basketball or just like...
David, don't be stupid.
I'm sorry.
It's a real story.
I understand.
About someone being rolled up into a ball.
Well, I was fascinated
by a bear and then rolled down a hill. I watched the game in San Antonio where I just was.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, San Antonio is where I am originally from.
Oh.
And it's almost like when I go to San Antonio for extended periods of time, it's like I step in sort of like a dampener.
Okay.
Like I'm a little bit more tired. I don't care about certain things, but it's pretty relaxing.
Yeah.
Like I have the internet on my phone. And that was the extent of my internet use. So like I had my laptop with me, but I didn't even open it for a week. It's like, meh, boring. And so I've been like completely out of touch. And I think maybe because I was an SA, I didn't feel that sort of like electricity about the game because I was like, meh, I don't know.
Nah, you felt about what you needed to feel. But it's funny you mention that because like whenever I go, whenever I stay with my parents, I'm the exact same way. Like I don't know what it is about entering your parents' house, but it's just like. Pfft, so long, friends. Like, I have very easy ways to communicate you, but I will not use them anymore.
There's only one thing that doesn't dampen when I go to SA.
What's that?
It's my love for the Spurs. Oh,
this really isn't all sports show. Sorry,
the
folks.
Glorious silver and black. Well, it's kind of, it's really not a sports show. An all sports show because this topic really does not have to do necessarily with sports, but with bros.
But, well, right before, if I can
interrupt
you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Next segment. Carol to the Seahawks. React. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to call in and give a take. We will probably not allow it.
We'll blow you up.
But I was in SA, and I went to a Spurs game. And they were playing the Mavericks. And, first of all, I'll say this. That Spurs Coyote, the mascot, that guy always makes me laugh. I remember when I first went to a Spurs game, and that Coyote came out. And he was like, hey, everyone, the Spurs Coyote. Freeze frame. But, That's a bad freeze frame.
That was the worst I thought you meant he did a freeze frame, because that certainly wasn't the song of the same name.
It's by the Gay Giles Band, right? Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah, that was a bad joke. Anyway, and I was like, oh, this stupid mascot. Look at his costume. It's dumb. It's like a Wile E. Coyote with weird eyes and hair on it. This is a bad mascot costume. So I was already like prepared to hate this mascot upon witnessing for the first time. But that dude made me chuckle that day. And even though they switched the coyote because the other one got cancer, the coyote continues to make me laugh. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
No. Let's say it, because I'm about to talk for about 80 minutes straight. Okay. Well, I'm going to talk right into clear spots.
Here's what I love about it. I love that you immediately dismissed the coyote because he had wild hair and googly eyes. Like, did you want some kind of gritty, real Dark Knight coyote?
I didn't dismiss him because of that.
What is he going to do? Entertain me? No.
No, but I'm saying that's the difference between it being a Wile E. Coyote costume.
Okay.
Is that he had different eyes and messy hair.
I thought you wanted real.
Although, by the way, the coyote did dress up like Batman.
Oh.
Because Manu Ginobili and that bat thing. Did you hear about that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, for folks who didn't, a bat got into the AT&T Center because there's lots of bats in San Antonio. What?
Yeah.
And Manu Ginobili, while they're playing, smacked out of the air, and now he has to have rabies shots. Yeah. But he continues to be...
vilified by PETA.
Well, and also, yeah, that's true. Consoled by the fact that he's a Time Warner Cable customer.
Eating all that HEB meat.
So the coyote is walking out there, and he sees some lady with a coat on. Not that weird because it's cold, but it's a fur coat.
Oh.
The coyote glares at her, rips the fur coat from her, puts it on the ground, starts giving it CPR. Then he gives it last rites. Then he throws the coat at the woman. Woman throws the coat at the coyote. Coyote, having none of it, throws that coat right back. It was awesome. It was hilarious. It's busted up. A coyote. It's a gesture for the new age. That's all I'm going to say. But let's get to the meat of the matter. There's these two bros in front of us that were Mavs fans. And I don't say that there's two Mavs fans in front of us that were bros, because as much as I dislike the Dallas Mavericks, I don't dislike their fans necessarily, because I know a bunch of them and they're fine people.
Yeah.
And Dirk Nowitzki, besides being an evil German, has got an awesome game. The man's game is flat out. It's nice. It's good.
Yeah, not superstar nice.
I want to be friends with it. But these two bros in front of us are just broing out the entire game. Every time anybody in the Mavs would make a shot, they'd stand up at their chairs and be like, oh, what now? What now, San Antonio? And they were like wearing different Mavs jerseys with backwards hat. One for Rangers, one for the Nationals for some reason. I almost said the Senators.
Ew. Oh, well, that would make sense because they were the Senators before they were the Rangers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But not really. Oh, that would have made sense.
No,
yeah.
They were.
Yeah, but not the Nationals.
No, that would have made sense.
That's got
no,
well, that's, yeah. That was what his hat was.
Okay.
And they were just super broing out. And at one point, if the Mavs are really good, they start hugging on each other.
Okay.
Which somebody behind me was like, hey, I'm going to hug every time a Spurs score. And like our entire section laughed like, ha ha ha. And then at one point, they started, this one guy was like, yeah, all right. Like it was really like it was escalating. Like, to where I started questioning the intentions of this one guy. Because they're like, yeah, all right, I score. Let's hug a little. And then the guy started slapping the other one on the ass.
Okay.
And it was like, what's going on here? What's happening? There's being, because keep in mind, it's not like we were like right next to the action. We're in Club 200.
Yeah. Oh.
The best part about Club 200, that's like the second level of seats, like the nosebleed or cheap seats, or whatever you want to call them. Even though I thought they were great seats. Just for the record.
Not bad seats, but you need a Sherpa to get there.
Not a bad seat in the house. No. In the AT&T Center, unless you're on the baseline, in which case, go home. But yeah, if you're looking at the width of the court, it's not a bad seat in the house. But the best part about Club 200, besides the name, is that the escalator you take to get to the second level, it goes by the box seats. And so you're like, yeah, I'm going to go up Club 2. Oh, look, there's... Look, that person's got his own easy chair. That's great.
Now getting a foot rub.
You get at least to look at the betters and how they sit. But these guys, these fans in front of us, these bros, they were being really loud and really obnoxious. And it started ticking off some of the pro Spurs people around us, especially when the Mavs started winning. And here's the thing. There was a stretch of this game where the Spurs playing good. You think these guys were sheepish? You think they shut up? No.
No.
There's no stopping these guys. They're loud and obnoxious, winning or losing. That's the thing. Even if part of me was getting upset a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to be one of these sports hotheads. Losers are cool at a basketball game. I'm here to watch basketball. I'm here to have fun. Yeah. I'm not here to get into a stupid fight. These people have no control over the game, you know? So I did manage to keep my cool.
Okay, good.
Which, that's another thing about being in a dampener in San Antonio. I don't drink as much. Or at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
For some reason, when I'm in Austin, I feel the need to get into drinking contests all the time.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I was here 10 minutes, and I go, mailman, check this out. And I chugged a bottle of Jameson.
Is there mail being delivered tonight?
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Okay.
It's Saturday
I
mail.
Just saw, I just saw you called out a mailman at random.
He wasn't delivering mail to my neighborhood at the time. Okay. I was driving.
Yeah, there it is.
Mailman, check this out. Beat that. But anyway, and so I started getting into a fight. And if you're like, well, how do you know these guys were bros? They just may have been really enthusiastic. Here's how I know they're bros. They couldn't shut up with that word bro. Especially when that Spurs fan was like, hey, sit down. Because they'd stand up after every stinking play.
Okay.
Win or lose. And like, let's say Tim Duncan of the Spurs scored a basket. The Mavs fan would stand up and like, wave that finger like, no, not a good basket. Not a high quality basket.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, there's no beating these guys.
It's good to get his feedback, though.
But there's no beating him.
Right.
Like, if the Spurs could have won or lost, this guy still would have been all up in everyone's business.
Yeah.
But the guy's like, sit down. He goes, bro, I am sitting down, bro. And he'd book in the bros.
That's how you know a sentence began and ended. It's like a telegraph.
Yeah.
Telegram. That thing that doesn't exist anymore.
They also had a kiss cam at the game. Oh, my God. So good.
So did you kiss anybody special?
No. I've only a couple times gone to a Spurs game where there was a girl right next to me. And once it was just a friend. And we were sitting close enough to where we were kiss cam bait.
Mm.
And I was sitting there be like, please, God, don't let the kiss cam hit us. I don't want that. No, I don't want it.
Just couldn't stop eating cotton candy during that.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Moment.
Ducking down. But the other thing about the Spurs game, this is my last point I'll make, is I don't know why I just now noticed this or just now bothered me. Because something you don't see when you're watching a game on TV is every time there is a break in an NBA game,
mm-hmm.
there's always some sort of on-screen entertainment or on-court activity
yes.
going on to entertain or thrill you. Or, for the majority of these, their sole purpose is to have you make noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get loud! And the end result is that there was never a break from just people screaming. It's like, God, you know what? Heaven forbid there be non-screaming for 5 seconds
yeah.
at AT&T Center, but no. And I don't know why I've seen, you know, however many like sporting events. Just now, I just couldn't take it anymore for some reason. This game of all games, I was like, can we just be quiet time? Let's play a gigantic arena-wide game of heads up, 7-up.
Oh, that would take forever.
No, it wouldn't. We just have to play one round.
The buzzer.
Seven. It's just seven people.
Yeah, but you got to pick seven. You can't just pick the immediate seven. That's too easy.
Well, I would be fun to. It would be fun to watch instead of people yelling.
Just one guy in Club 200 taps you on the shoulder. Come on, you're coming with me.
Mavs 12, 112. Spurs 103.
Oh, a real quick aside.
Yeah,
pardon me. Speaking of like those things that they do in between play
yeah.
to like hype you up. I was watching
a dot race.
No.
Are you betting on a dot race?
I
once bet on a dot race.
Yeah, everybody bets on the dot race. It's, yeah.
No, like literal money.
No, I know.
Okay.
Do people not? You're saying that like it's weird. Do people not bet on the dot race?
It's a stupid thing to bet on.
Okay. Well, I bet on stupid things. Anyway.
Anyway.
So I was watching a game last night on the television. I believe it was Nuggets Cavs. And they were interviewing the coach at halftime.
Coach of which team?
The Cavs.
Mike Brown.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. But while they're interviewing him, in the background, you could see the Nuggets mascot climbing several ladders to get to, like, where they hang banners and stuff.
Uh-huh.
At that moment, I didn't care what the coach was saying. I wanted to see what the Nuggets mascot was going to do because that looked amazing. You just see, like, this little, like, what is he, like a tiger, like a lion?
He's Rocky the Mountain Lion, I believe.
Thank you, Rocky the Mountain Lion. You just see him ascending to great heights never seen before by man. And meanwhile, I'm talking to this, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of made me wish I had seen what happened.
You know, the greatest injustice of any NBA game is that the t-shirt gun, the parachute drop, whatever sort of like giveaway they do, it only seems to go to the inner circle of seats, the really close ones.
Yeah.
It's rich getting richer.
Yeah, exactly.
You nail a t-shirt up at Club 200. We're like immigrants fresh off the boat in the Great Depression.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, look, a t-shirt, daddy. Oh, papa, I'm going to frame this forever because they're all Italian, right?
Yeah, exactly. You don't think one of us...
Is that racist?
Yeah, little.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But seriously, you don't think one of us plebes up in the upper deck wants a Boost Mobile shirt? I would love one.
Us proles. second story, we would love one.
Yeah, second story, second tier citizen. Apparently.
So, yeah, exactly. But there was a Spurs preseason game this, not summer, this season
autumn.
At the Irwin Center here in Austin.
Yes.
And we got pretty good seats because it's pretty cheap. It's a preseason game.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, now finally, we are in prime position to enjoy a t-shirt gun. Here's the problem, though. Frank Irwin Center. Is it a pro arena or is it a college arena?
College arena.
College arena. And the mascot, do you think he brought his college gun or his pro gun? Brought his pro gun.
Oh.
Second level, finally getting fed. I'm in the first level. Oh, story of my life. Story of my life.
Is it the story of your life?
Well, let's do some music, David. I'm going to shut up about sports.
We need to work on a better story of your life for you.
What, that I'm always on the wrong level for the t-shirt guns? Perfect story. Harden your hearts, 2010. That's what I'm saying. What are we going to hear?
Let's go with UFO off their Best of UFO 1974-1983. This is Shoot Shoot, more Moscow Wedding Show right after this.
It's going to get better, I promise.
And we're back. Thank you very much for sticking with the Moscow Wedding Show. My name is David.
My name is Mac. Here's an update on that Cincinnati-New York game. Looks like somebody was trying to tackle Cincinnati running back Cedric Benson.
Uh-huh.
And just as they hit him, he turned into five tigers.
I missed that.
I think it looks like the game has been canceled because of the tiger attacks now.
Oh, is that his arm?
Oh, wait. Score. Touchdown.
Oh!
One of the tigers had the ball. Classic. Classic deception.
Totally classic Bengals.
Yeah.
We just heard UFO off there. I already said all that. We just heard Shoot Shoot. There. You want that? Fine.
Bing, bang, bang, bong. So what is that movie? Avatar.
Yeah.
Still number one.
Jesus, that thing's not going away.
You think that guy, first, was that nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Picture?
Ooh, no. I think it was too late.
Really?
No, that's right. Right? That's right.
I hope it was eligible, not nominated, just because it's like, as more time passes, the more I'm like, I'm now kind of getting sick of it.
Uh-huh.
And I've only still seen it just once, so I'm getting sick of my memories. But God was it dazzling. But still, like, I'm glad we sort of like have wised up, because Titanic, like, yeah. I don't know, do people feel browbeaten into giving that best? But it's like, God, it made so much money. We kind of got to give it the Oscar.
Well, you know, Avatar is winning Best Picture.
Oh, please, really? Does it have to?
Here's the thing.
Story's so bad.
Because I know it is. It's the Sgt. Pepper of movies. It's technically impressive, but it's not all that great. Look, it's an Academy Award. So they're rewarding the Academy is rewarding this movie for saving Hollywood, apparently.
Boring. Man, Dark Knight snub. What? Which one best picture last year, by the way?
Last year was...
Was that No Country?
No, that was the year before. Oh, okay. Last year was... Oh, Slumdog Millionaire.
Snub.
More like Snubdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
No, here's the thing that drives me nuts about this. Like, I mean, we've talked about this before. 2007
Dark Knight snub. Yeah, well, sorry. Now I'm just like some sort of like idiot Jets fan, like interrupting whatever you say, being like, Jets! Jets! J-E-T-S! Jets!
No, but like, you know, 2007, great year for movies. 2008, there was a lot of movies that were... And again, Academy Awards doesn't mean anything. But this year, of all years, they had to extend the Best Picture nominees to 10. Like, I can't even think of five movies I really, really liked.
Maybe they can re-nominate King of Kong. What? That doesn't make a lick of sense.
Oh, what if Billy Mitchell went up to accept?
You know what?
It is America tie.
In terms of like dream roles you want to see, friend of the show, Jimena, once said she'd love to see... A narrative feature of King of Kong with Tom Cruise's Billy Mitchell. That would be great.
You can't beat the King of Kong, though. Like, it was perfect on its own.
Well, you get more into the quiet moments when he's like alone in the mirror, and he's like, Billy Mitchell looks himself in the mirror, and he's like, I hate you. And he goes, no, I love you. And he just cries a bunch.
Actually, you know what's funny?
No, tell me.
Well, not funny.
School me, Jeeves. No. The super aggressive mascot winning show. Undefeated, by the way, in 2K10. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
1-0.
Running it up the score now. Last night I watched it was called The Night James Brown Saved Boston. And it was about, I put a concert on the night after Martin Luther King got shot. It was in April of 68. Put it on the Boston Garden. And apparently, like, that night was, like, the turning point for James Brown, because before he was just, like, an entertainer. He was just a singer, that sort of thing. But then after that night, and after he put this concert on, that really seemed to, like, stem the tide of writing in Boston, he became, like, this activist. And one, like, it was an amazing story. Like, I was really impressed by it.
What was the turning point to when he became insane again?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, wow, I remember when James Brown died, he was just a nut. Like, where was this middle period? Was it before I was born? Was it before I became aware of James Brown that he just, like, descended into madness? Because, like, to watch the footage of him, like, you know, endorsing Robert F. Kennedy and endorsing Hubert Humphrey and, like, going to the rallies and going to, like, you know, to speak to kids and stuff like that, you're like, wow, James Brown was awesome. Where was James Brown up until he died?
And then, like, yeah, when did he become, like, I'm an insane version of Elvis? Like, when did he decide that?
Because, like, even when, like, he went to jail as a kid.
Coming to America.
It was Living in America.
Whatever.
Coming to America was a movie.
God, it was a great movie.
That James Brown loved.
Yes. Full circle.
Yay.
Full circle.
Yeah, you know, his story is that he went to jail. He learned from his ways. He said, you know what? I got to do better than this. I got to be strong. I got to be powerful. You know, I got to make something of myself. And then he did. And then to watch, like, the YouTube clips of him, like, coked up during a TV interview in 93, it's like, where did you lose your way?
Let me ask you this, because when I think of James Brown, I think of those coked up YouTube clips.
Yes.
Of him being crazy and telling that Atlanta news reporter that he's a, that the ladies like him.
We'll dancing in the newsroom, like doing like the James Brown in front of the news desk.
After you watch this documentary, do you think of James Brown any differently?
I do. I think of him much, much more positively than I did. Because I always knew he was a showman and I always knew he was crazy. But now I know he was all of those things and more.
So we'll do a little exercise.
Yes.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
I'm going to say a word. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
James Brown.
Crazy.
Now, what do you picture? What do you visually picture?
Oh, what do I picture?
Sorry.
I picture him doing his little dance.
Okay. Here, we'll do the same thing to me.
Okay.
Let me clear my mind.
Okay.
Done. All right.
Okay.
Eyes are closed.
James Brown.
Rocky IV. That's what I see him as in Rocky IV, strutting around. It's that song, Coming to America, I believe.
I believe that's what it's called. Yes.
It's called Coming to America.
I believe you're right.
We were talking about this earlier. Do you have anything else to say about James Brown?
No, sorry. I just watching this and I was like, hey, somebody should make a movie of this, because, like, that'd make a good movie. That doesn't play on the radio, Mac. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was tapping a pin on the table, and I realized I need to stop doing that because we're on radio, and so I decided to throw it across the room.
Yeah, not profesh.
I just want to say that movie Surrogates.
Like, yes.
Bruce Willis, we're talking about this earlier. You think that guy who made Surrogates is, like, mad that Avatar is making so much money?
I think he's furious.
Because his inside is like, no, people putting their brains in other bodies. Is that the appeal of Avatar? Because Surrogates did that first.
It's the same basic premise, people!
It's Surrogates country. This guy's ripping off Surrogates.
That's Surrogates money right now.
Come on. That's money should have gone to Surrogates.
That's my Surrogates jet.
Stupid publicity department. We needed to play up more the fact that it's people's brains and robot bodies.
Yeah.
Surrogates.
You know who's not crying for him, though?
Who?
Gamer.
Yeah, Gamer. Gamer, what the hell?
Gamer, you and me, we're kindred spirits.
What's going on, Gamer? That's someone else's body being controlled by some other person. That's Avatar right there. What gives? What gives, America? You love Avatar, but not Gamer.
Are we not blue enough for you?
It's got a better star, Gerard Butler.
Fine.
It's not some cripple. What?
What?
This is not,
oh, that's
me.
That guy.
It's not me saying
it. It's Method.
It's those two directors from Gamer.
Method whining.
I don't get it. Why do people love Avatar but not Gamer?
Fine, we'll make a sequel. Blue Gamer.
Yeah, Blue Gamer. Oh, I get it. Was Gamer not a monkey? Was that it? Some blue cat monkey?
Blue cat monkey gamer time.
Come on. Surrogates. Triple feature. Hope this. You know what? I'm going to call up James Cameron and say, let's sell these DVDs in threes.
You know what?
Gamer, Surrogates, if they make Avatar, 3-pack.
If they make a triple feature, put Avatar last. Because if you put Avatar first, no one's seeing the other two movies. Walking on out.
What if James Cameron, drunk on power, decided to do that? What if he was like, all right, here's how you're going to market the DVD. You're going to put out a regular edition, non-3D, for full-screen televisions. Then, second one, Blu-ray, 3-disc set, 1-disc Avatar, disc 2 Gamer, disc 3 Surrogates.
It's called the
James, that's a crazy idea. I'm James Cameron, damn it.
The James Cameron Spikes the Ball edition, yeah, of Avatar.
He doesn't care anymore. He's going to be like Mark Sanchez, and he's going to celebrate by having a snake bite him and then survive.
He made the two highest grossing movies of all time. That is insane to me.
That was insane to me.
And they're not good.
They're basically, from a structural standpoint, the same movie.
Exactly.
Because he was like, how am I going to structure this movie? And he's got a whiteboard. And on one side of the whiteboard, he writes, predictable, stupid story. And then the other side of the whiteboard, he writes, groundbreaking visual effects. And he draws an arrow from one to the other. Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. $2 billion.
And then
he
spends the rest of the afternoon trying to find an outlet to plug in his money printing machine.
He goes, let me reunite with Linda Hamilton so I could dumper again.
Hey, yeah, the girl from Titanic he dumped.
Wait, who's the girl from Titanic?
The granddaughter of that dumb lady who threw the diamond in the water.
You've lost me. I don't know what you're talking about.
The redheaded gal who was on the boat when they were like, when the old lady was telling her story to Bruce Valanche and Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
The granddaughter was there with her. That granddaughter used to shack up with James Cameron, and James Cameron dumped her right after Titanic.
So who's who's Jamie C. Shacking up with now?
Sam Worthington.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That cripple.
Are you still doing the gamer voice?
No. I gotta say, though, that was awesome, the visual effects for his legs.
Yeah, I was...
Still a crappy story, though.
Oh, horrible.
Be back in a minute, Spoon Got Nothing. Right? Yep. Back, let's go winning after this. Sweet Lady Mascot Wedding Show. Back again, 2K10. That was Spoon. We got nothing. They got a new album coming out this year. Telepresence, I think it's its name. I'm not 100% on that, but I know I am looking forward to it. Looks like we got us a phone call. KOOP, you are on the air.
Hey, Max Flake.
What was that?
Hey, Max Flake. How are you, Mr. Flake?
I'm sorry. You're saying Flake, right? Not Blake.
Yeah, Max Flake. That's what I'm talking to, right?
Nah, it's Blake with a B.
I know. I'm just busting your roundies.
What can I do for you? Wait, who is this? Do I know you?
It's Tolbert.
Tolbert, my neighbor?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, bud.
In San Antonio?
Yeah, yeah, of course. F.A. Hey, town.
Well, hey, Tolbert, what's up?
I got you a little flustered there, didn't I?
Yeah, I guess you kind of did, a little.
Yeah, you wanted to fight me, didn't you?
No, I just... didn't know why someone was calling in and calling me a flake. Actually, I still don't get it, but whatever. How's it going, Tolbert?
You still don't get it?
Not really. I mean, unless there's nothing to get. Unless it's just, you know, you being Tolbert being Tolbert.
TBT.
Yeah, that's it.
No, I'm calling you a flake because of Thursday night.
What about it?
Where were you?
I was at home. Why, where were you?
Funny you should ask. I was out watching The Blind Side by myself.
The Blind Side, that football movie with Sandra Bullock.
Yup.
Wait, why did you go by yourself? I told you I'd see that with you.
Yeah, and I went by your place Thursday night and knocked on the door, but you never answered.
That can't be right. I was home all night.
You were ducking me.
I wasn't ducking you.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, so I went to see The Blind Side by myself.
I'm sorry, Tolbert, I really am. I didn't mean to...
crying in the theater all alone.
Wait, because of me or because of the movie?
Because of the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wasn't sure.
Never cried so hard in my life.
Really? That good?
So good. For that kid to go through everything he went through and then at the end he didn't die? Total twist.
Wait, you said he didn't die, right?
Right, yeah, he didn't die. Did I spoil it for you? I didn't spoil it for you, did I?
No, but you know that movie is based on a true story, right?
It is?
Yeah, that guy in the movie, Michael Orr, he plays for the Ravens now.
Oh, my God. I wish I had known that earlier. Maybe I wouldn't have cried so much during the movie.
What made you think he would die?
I don't know. I thought that's where the movie was headed. You know, like, this kid went from being poor to living with a rich white family and being really good at football.
Yeah, you didn't think that would be enough of a story?
No. I thought he was going to, like, die in a plane crash on the way to Coachella.
Coachella, the music festival?
Yeah.
Was that part of the... was Coachella part of the movie?
No.
Then what made you think this football player would die in a plane crash on the way to Coachella?
I don't know. That's how good this movie was. I didn't know what to think.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's alive and doing well. He didn't die in a plane crash.
Oh, that's great. I think I might cry again.
Let me ask you, why did you go to the movies Thursday night?
I don't know. It seemed like a good night to go. And man, let me tell you, it totally was. There wasn't a single person in the entire theater.
Yeah, well, I bet there wasn't.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. You would have loved it if you hadn't flaked out on me.
God, Tobert, I did not flake out on you.
Really? Because I saw your car in the driveway, but I knocked and you never answered.
Yeah, about that. What time did you knock on my door?
I don't know, around 8.
Uh-huh. I see. And did you notice anything strange? Like, did you hear any noises coming from inside my place, maybe?
Yeah, I heard a lot of noise, but I just figured you were having one of those dance parties.
Dance parties?
Yeah, you know how you like to dance to that one song, the one where you get knocked down and then a bunch of other stuff
okay,
happens?
Okay, yeah, look. What I dance to is my own business. Yeah, but no, Tolbert, I was watching the national championship game.
What game?
Are you serious? The Texas game.
That game's not until next Thursday.
No, it was this past Thursday.
Yeah, but how do you know?
Because I watched it.
What? Oh, man!
You didn't happen to notice all those other cars in my driveway when you came to knock on the door? Everyone in the neighborhood came over to watch the game.
How come you didn't tell me?
I did tell you. I told you earlier in the week. The same time I told you to go see The Blind Side with me.
Yeah, but you said that party was next Thursday.
Yeah, the upcoming Thursday.
Aw, dang!
Yeah.
Dang it. I missed the championship game.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Dang, who won?
Are you serious?
Did we win? Oh, dang, what's that rattle?
Battle cattle. Wait, you really didn't know anything about the game?
No, I told you I was watching The Blind Side.
Yeah, but that was 2 days ago. Okay, you haven't seen any news or even talked to another person since then?
I guess not. I guess everybody's too tired from celebrating.
No, Tolbert, no. Texas didn't win. They lost.
What? But you just said.
I didn't say anything. That's just what you assumed, I guess.
Are you sure you saw the right game?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
You just said.
Okay, Tolbert, fine. They won.
What? Dang! I knew it! I knew they won!
No, they didn't win. They lost.
I think you're lying.
Why do you think I'm telling the truth when I tell you they won and that I'm lying when I tell you they lost?
I don't know. It just feels so right.
Well, no, they lost.
Dang. What was the score?
37-21.
Alabama got 37?
Yeah, that's the winners of the game. They're the one with... They got more points than Texas.
Dang! How'd that happen?
It's just a lot of things. You know, run defense couldn't hold when Alabama was working with a short field all the time because of the turnovers. They got 21 points off of them.
Dang, I told you that McCoy was no good.
You really have not heard a thing about the game, have you?
Which game? The Texas game?
Yes, the Texas game.
No, this is the first I'm hearing about any of it.
So you don't know that McCoy didn't play?
Colt McCoy.
Yes, Colt McCoy.
But he's the quarterback.
Yeah, but he was out. His backup played, Garrett Gilbert.
Colt was out? Where was he?
No, he was there in California with everyone else.
California? What was he doing out there?
Well, that's where the game was played.
The Texas game.
Yes, the Texas game.
But they were playing Alabama.
Yeah, they were playing Alabama in the Rose Bowl, though.
They weren't playing in the Rose Bowl. Oregon already played Ohio State in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, yeah. But Ohio State won 26-17. Terrell Pryor had like 266 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I know, but the championship game took place in a stadium called the Rose Bowl. Wait a minute. How do you know so much about the Oregon game, but you know nothing about the game that just happened 2 days ago involving a team that lives like 90 minutes from your town?
I went to see The Blind Side.
Yeah, I know you did. Like, you know what, Tolbert? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. You know what? Look, there's still a ton of stories out there about the game. Just go pick up a newspaper, go online. It's everywhere. You know, probably ask anyone on the street. It'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah. I can't believe I missed the game.
Yeah, well, you were watching The Blind Side.
Oh, it was so good.
I know it was.
You want to go see it?
Wait, you'd go see it again?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, I'll go. How about Thursday?
Thursday? What about your party?
What party?
The watch party for the game.
The game that already happened?
Oh, man.
Yeah, look at that.
I bought all these chips.
Well, maybe we could take those chips to the movies with us.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll see you Thursday.
Okay.
For the movie.
That's right.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Tolbert.
I love you.
All right. I guess, Tolbert? And he hung up. Okay, that's Tolbert. And that's the Mascot Wedding Show. 2-0, undefeated. Take that, horns. I mean, battle cattle. Stay tuned for the clear spot. Lisa and Linda and Apprentice. Who, once he graduates, I'll say his name. But not until then! For more information about side projects and for the eventual return of the podcast, you may visit mascotwedding.com. We are going to close out the show here with the band Crime. Something that David is a big fan of. That's right, I said it. With their song, Rock and Roll Enemy, off of San Francisco, Still Doomed. Next time. Oh, wait, goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, Austin. Hello, Clear Spot.